All right, it is Tuesday. We need to catch our second wind as the week progresses. Churches need it, lay people need it, those that were involved with all the Easter week preparations need it. Even though maybe some took a breather yesterday, they might still need that next wind that helps us to keep on going. So Easter plans are completed, Monday restored, Tuesday rolls in with the I shoulda, coulda, woulda nagging thoughts. It's that time of the week where we come down from celebrating the most important day of the year as a believer, remembering he rose from the dead. The greatest news, God's not dead, he's alive. Well, let's pray the momentum of that season will spill over into the weeks to come, that we don't fall back into complacency. Instead, we ask for the zeal of you, Lord, to pray until we see God move in our church, in our community, and our county churches. We're praying people catch the zeal of the Lord. Father, we pray specifically for zeal from you, O God, to manifest in the people that attend our church, those in leadership, those that attend, those that visit, that they will manifest great energy, enthusiasm, passion, fervor, fire, devotion, eagerness for the things of you, Lord. In Romans 12:11, you say, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We ask God for leaders and lay people would have fresh vision to do each of their ministries like Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And we pray that that zeal that Elijah had before he was threatened by Jezebel, that that would be what comes upon your people, Lord Jesus. We ask God for the church would be like a team, all hands on deck, everyone doing their part to minister at the church and to the people in their world of influence. Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That those who are called to be teachers would grow in zeal, hunger, and study and share God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Father, we lift up people that they would discover their spiritual gifts, enlighten them, open their eyes, open their ears, help them to see exactly what you have given them, and that they would use those gifts or gift to edify the church and to minister to the lost. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. We pray that happens, that it would manifest through the people. We pray that the people would feel free to confess their sins, helping them to grow in being distinct from the world in love and holiness so that they can share this good news with others. 1 John 1, 9, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray that members would share the gospel this week and not leave that to the people that lead the church. And as a result, would see more lives change. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. People would give faithfully as well as joyfully, consistently, and sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as they have decided in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. That members would encourage each other with praises of God's greatness, testifying the things He's doing in their lives and around them and has done. And they would focus less on the woes of this world, knowing that God is greater than all of darkness. In Isaiah 42:13, we are reminded that you said, Lord, you will go forth like a warrior. You will arouse your zeal like a man of war. You will utter a shout. Yes, you will raise a war cry. You will prevail against your enemies. Thank God for that. We thank you, Father, that you are greater than all that we see. You are greater than nations. They are as a drop of water in a bucket to you. You've got the whole world in your hands. You made the entire world and everyone in it. So we look to you, to that high place that you are, knowing that you're almighty, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. And lastly, we pray that all would experience the presence of God, a move of the Holy Spirit, that times of refreshing would come. Acts 3:19, 20 says that we were to repent and confess our sins. Then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. We thank you, God, for all that you're going to do, all that you're doing. And we want to catch this wave that's starting to manifest across our country, across the globe, this wave of revival, taking those dead places, bringing them alive, putting fire on the embers of our hearts and minds and souls, bringing back to our memory the things that you have taught us over the years, and causing us to want to be eager and zealous about the things of you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, may it be done. We decree that it shall be done because it is your desire. And whatsoever we ask, knowing that it's what you want, and we have all authority over all the power of the enemy, we thank you that nothing, nothing will prevail, not even the gates of hell. In Jesus' name.